to start?
Right now?
Right now. Like right now, right now.
Right now, right now?
Right now, right now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Before we get started, we'd like you to do a couple things for us. First, go to our Facebook page, like and share the Facebook page. Then go to Twitter, follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
@comesnaturalpod.
Then after you do that, please head over to iTunes. Please rate the podcast, review the podcast, and subscribe to the podcast so it downloads for you automatically every Friday, free of charge. Cody, what's some motherfucking name?
Comes naturally, we are.
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. Welcome to this week's episode, everybody. Recorded on the proper day, not like last week's shenanigans.
Which was super weird. Threw me off.
My whole week's been thrown off.
Yeah, I don't know how to spell squirrel. How do you spell squirrel?
S-Q-U-I-R-E-L.
I don't think that's it. R-R.
R-R, yeah.
Yeah, it's a double R.
Double R.
E-O. Fuck, I misspelled
it.
Which
is what Deadpool 2 is going to be, a double R.
Ooh. For Reynolds and no, that doesn't
Roland.
Work.
Roland?
This is an R and Roland.
Well, it's Ryan Reynolds.
Ah.
Yeah.
It's the double R. Double R and Tondre.
All right, so I'm looking up. Somebody posted 15 actresses who could play Marvel's Squirrel Girl. One. Or technically, they say 15. Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, that's a big one.
That'd be an easy.
Is that Abby Girl in here?
Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Why don't you tell the listeners what Squirrel Girl is and why I'm looking it up?
Oh, announced today the official characters for one of the new Marvel TV shows. And this is a legit, like, cable-based TV show, not like a Netflix binge it type one. This is on Freeform, which used to be ABC Family. And then it was something else after that, I think. And then Freeform. They just announced the keywork art, the logo, and the trailer for Cloak and Dagger. And then earlier this morning, they officially released the characters that will be cast for New Mutants is what it's really called. But it's New Warriors because it's a slightly different one, because New Mutants is technically going to be by Fox. But New Warriors, and Squirrel Girl happens to be one of them. She, as it sounds, by the way, has the power of a squirrel and the power of a girl. She's super acrobatic. She can fight and she can communicate with squirrels. And she has a pet squirrel. All
right. This is from Screen Rant. They listed 15. I don't like some of the choices, so I'm just going to give you ones that make sense to me.
Okay.
Anna Kendrick.
Makes sense.
I think it makes sense.
I can see her doing it.
Majority rules. Kate, I can't say this girl's name, but I recognize her, the one on the left, the black short hair.
Yeah,
she's Scrubs. She's part of that comedy duo, Something and Oates, Garfunkel and Oates.
Yeah.
So that one makes a lot of sense.
Not super tall, hot one, the other one.
The other one.
Yeah.
That was in, Don't Say No? Mike Birbiglia's one? That's like super sad. She was in that. She would be good. I don't know who that is. So nope, she sucks. They say the older sister on Modern Family. I don't like that choice. I don't know who that is. So nope. They say Daisy Ridley. Fuck you. She's way too big to be.
Yeah.
Like, she can't. No.
Right.
That's silliness. Abigail Breslin. That makes a little sense. This is the one I want to be. Allison Brie.
Yeah. She has a new show. That's about to start or is starting.
She can do more than one thing at once.
Well, granted, yes.
Eden Schur. Do you know who that is? Oh, fucking, I sent it.
No.
She was on The Middle. She was the daughter on The Middle.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
She'd actually do it.
Yeah, no, she would be good.
That show's.
Because she's awkward.
Yeah, and she's funny. She could do it. Hannah Murray. I don't know who that is. Oh, it's a Game of Thrones chick.
Yeah.
Ellen Page.
Ugh, gross.
I don't know who that is. And Mae Whitman was the last one. I don't like that. So I like Alison Brie, Anna Kendrick, and...
You don't like Maisie Williams?
Maisie Williams?
Nah, dude, she's Game of Thrones. She's not... She's not going to do
Game of Thrones is going to be done after the next season.
Two seasons. It's never going to end.
No,
gonna
they already end. Said
no,
they
already they'll be like, oh, it's over.
Walking Dead will never end.
And then, bam, new episode.
The Walking Dead will never end because they don't have an ending for it. Because
it's still going.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, technically so is Game of Thrones, but they already veered off enough to have their own ending happen. Stance.
Yeah, I really don't recognize. Oh, Mary Elizabeth Winstead? Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, she could do it. She can be awkward, but
I like the.
I think she could do it. Yeah,
I like either the Anna Kendrick, Alison Brie, or the girl from the middle.
Yeah, the girl from the middle.
Out of those three, I definitely go with Anna Kendrick.
She could do it. What's the other girl that was from? It was in The Office that they. Not the Office in Parks and Rec. I think she was in. They were talking about two.
Oh, Audrey.
That's the one. You know what I'm talking about.
Plaza?
Yeah.
Audrey Plaza.
That was her name was being thrown out a lot, too.
That makes a lot of sense, too.
But she's in...
the new X-Men one.
Yeah.
The pseudo-X-Men, yeah.
So I don't know if that's going to work out so well.
Star-Lord was in Parks and Rec.
It's true. Yep. It's true. Star-Lord knew...
get everyone from Parks and Rec and put them in a superhero movie. We already got, or a superhero TV show. We already got two. Next, we need to get Nick Offerman to replace Brolin as Cable.
No.
I would like that. That'd be hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so what else are we talking about besides Squirrel Girl?
Yeah. Anyone of you either watch Deadwood?
Nope.
Mike's, I don't think Mike's old enough to even know what that show was.
What is Deadwood?
Was it coming back or something?
Apparently the movie script has been delivered to HBO from the original writer and creator. And so they're waiting for approval.
Alright, whatever. No, I never watched it, never cared to, so, but I'm sure there's people out there that would
a lot
like
of motherfuckers.
It.
That's gonna be rated R just on language alone.
Yeah.
They use the word cunt a lot.
Yeah, man.
Did they?
Cocksucker.
All right.
Yeah, it was very, very un-Western-y, if you think about the way they talked it in that show. But, you know, whatever. You know,
yeah,
teach
you know.
Their own type thing. But it's cool.
Totally cool.
Totally cool. Let's see what else. Oh, they had a big press junket at the Marvel Studios this past week.
Yeah, what'd they say?
They showed off a sneak peek of behind the scenes stuff from Black Panther and the first footage from Black Panther, concept art for Captain Marvel, concept art from Ant-Man and the Wasp, and then they all got to do a preview screening of Guardians, which is the first actual audience that was not cast or crew to see the movie.
Nice.
But there's an embargo on the reviews until the 21st, which is Saturday, because that's when it premieres outside the U.S.
Okay.
I believe Europe and China.
Okay.
I think, or is it Japan that gets it first? One of those. I know other countries get it on the 21st, and we have to wait till the 5th for whatever reason.
I think China. Yeah.
It might be China.
China gets it first.
Yeah, yeah. It might be China. So yeah, we'll have, you know, we'll have that. What else? Yeah. What else? Mike and I watched it. The Kingsman, The Golden Circle teaser or trailer tease came out. It's one of Mike's least favorite things is a teaser for a teaser.
Right, because it's just awful.
This one is a little...
funnier.
A little more clever because of the fact that it was the actual teaser, but instead of being a minute 32, I think they said it was what it was going to be, ends up being 10 seconds. So it's the full teaser trailer, but only 10, but it condensed down to 10 seconds.
So literally they just fast-forwarded it.
Yep.
That 1 minute and 30 seconds down to 10 seconds.
Yep. Well, with the best part is it has full audio, so it doesn't sound like a little chipmunky.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they kept the pitch and everything right. Oh, it's really funny. Because wow. Because all you're really hearing is you hear a little bit of talking, but you hear gunshots and like explosions and stuff. Like
right.
Car sounds and stuff. It's pretty funny. I thought it was pretty funny. But just getting you hyped for the actual teaser to see what it, you know, what it's all about. Let's see. What else? What else? There was something else. Oh, Warwick Davis is in this Han Solo solo movie. If you guys don't know who Warwick Davis is.
Nice. Does it say who he's going to play?
Well,
I was going to say it'd be interesting if he could actually get a role in that series that doesn't have him put on a shit ton of makeup and whatnot.
No, he's got cosmetics on. I'm going to show you the picture.
But I mean, like, you know, they're not going to dress him up in a fucking bear suit. Oh, okay. Well, they essentially do dress him. Well,
nope.
It's gone now.
Skipskis. Well, went down to the picture.
Speaking of him, it's weird. I ran across an article, I can't remember where. Anyway, they were talking about how in certain franchises, they changed the look of characters. And he had one of them in the Harry Potter series. I can't remember who he played. It was Professor something or other. But it's like night and day difference between the first and second movie and then the rest of the series.
Yep.
Because the first and second movie, he had like a gray beard and everything, and he looked more like an old dwarf, I would say.
Yeah.
Where suddenly in the third movie, he's this just short guy with black hair, but he's the same character. It was weird.
I think if I remember correctly, he has three roles in the Harry Potter franchise because he also played the head.
But these two characters were the same character.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Like, I can understand if he's playing a different character.
Yeah, because he plays the bank manager.
Yeah.
I think it's the third one or second one. I can't remember which one it is. It's been a long time since I watched all the Harry Potter movies. Yeah. Did you watch any of the Star Wars Celebration stuff, either of you?
I actually did not.
Other than the trailer that I spread around?
I've seen a little bit of it. I know Mark Hamill had his thing for the remembrance of Carrie Fisher.
Yep. Yeah. And then what was the... Oh, so Warwick Davis did the interview with George Lucas,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty funny. It was all like, you know, what do you think of this? Blah, blah, blah. I didn't watch the whole thing. I just watched a piece of it. And then... I guess we'll talk about the Star Wars trailer now. I don't know why it took us as long to get to it. But Star Wars The Last Jedi first teaser trailer came out. And was a proper teaser trailer,
mm-hmm.
even though teaser trailers... They're getting... Depending on who makes it, what movie they're for, they're better than most. But some of them are just like one of those ones where it's like a large title sequence and then like an image of somebody. And you're like, fuck you. Like, whatever.
Yeah,
but a lot of bigger studios are doing better now, where it's just like it's more of a sizzle reel, and then you get a story trailer, and then that, you know, that's a proper trailer, as they say. Mike, what are your thoughts?
Star Wars,
The Last Jedi.
Finn's still in a coma.
Yep,
but he's in stable condition.
Yeah,
you can tell because of the writing on the pod.
So that's a little bummer-ish. I was kind of hoping to see him.
But we knew
we knew he was fucked up.
Yeah.
But we just don't know when that takes place.
Yeah.
So we'll find out, I guess.
Do you think he's going to like be in much of the movie?
No.
In this one?
I don't think so.
Like, do you think he'll be talking at all in this movie?
No.
You think he's going to be coming up the whole movie?
Maybe.
I don't know, because most of the stuff we've seen was... that most people have posted would be stuff focused around Rey. Because we haven't seen behind-the-scenes photos of a lot of people, but it's really hard because a lot of the stuff is shot on Pinewood Studios lot, so you can't really get pictures in there without being arrested and probably thrown into a deep, dark hole but by the looks of the trailer, everybody we want to see is in it.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't see Chewie or R2. Well, we know why. But there's some interesting
on the inside.
Are you?
I am.
There was a lot of interesting stuff that came about after the trailer, like fan theories and stuff.
Well, hold on. Let me give you a couple more impressions. One, the ship hangar being blown up when Poe and BB-8 trying to get to the X-Wing. I was like, oh shit, that sucks.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what's happening there, but it's not good news. So that stood out to me. Obviously, old Luke is finally a talking. But the biggest thing, obviously the biggest thing, is what he says at the end, which I'm sure Cody hasn't memorized. Cody, what does he say?
What? Why would you think I haven't memorized?
Because you watched the trailer 4,000 times yesterday alone.
And that's probably a low estimate.
Is it a low estimate? So he says, all I know is it's the time for the Jedi to end.
Yes. What does that mean?
Well,
now we get into the fan theories, because this is the juicy stuff.
I have some spoiler stuff.
All right, let's hit it.
That we can talk about. So fan theories are that Luke wants to dispel with the Jedi way and make his own. Because he, in canon, is the only... He's one of only two living Jedis that master both the dark and the light side of the Force. The other one is Quinlan Voss from... who has appeared in the Rebels cartoon, who was actually in episode 1 as a background character, and I think we talked about it on the show before. He was in a book, tremendous Star Wars book if you want to read it.
What's the title?
It's called Dark Disciple.
Dark Disciple.
It's in the timeline, it takes place between episode 2 and 3.
All right.
So height of the clone, like height of the beginning of the Clone War, like, or it's still the clones haven't been officially, like, the Clone War hasn't officially kind of melted down yet. It's still kind of in its heyday. So you still have, you have Dooku who is around, but this is before they know about Darth Sidious has become. So they think that Dooku's the end-all, be-all Sith Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They think it's him, and they think it's Grievous, so it's Grievous and then him. But basically, the real quick, the plot of that book is... the Jedi Council gets together. They reluctantly decide to assassinate Count Dooku, which goes against the Jedi way of of peaceful. So capturing him, trying to, you know, bring him to the good, or at least, you know, rehabilitate him, versus straight out murder. So to do this, they have a special agent. He's a Jedi Knight, named Quinlan Voss. His specialty is to go undercover, deep undercover, and then take down bad people. He's a little bit on the edge because he does kill, so they don't like that about him. But they let it happen because he gets shit done. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Lesser of two evils, I should say.
Yeah.
So they task him to this, and their plan is he has to track down Dooku's old apprentice, was the Asajj Ventress, if you remember her. From the cartoons, she's the like the blue skinned, like shaved head.
Okay.
And the dual lightsabers.
Okay.
So she is now a full fledged bounty hunter. She has gone after Dooku several times and has not been able to kill him, obviously because he's alive. So he basically tracks her down, joins up with her, and then has her teach him dark side abilities. Now the problem with dark side is, it can consume you, so if you're not strong like Luke is and like Quinlan is, they can easily bring you to the other side and you can never come back. He is able to master it, spoiler alert. So he is one of the only two people like Luke, so the fan theory is Luke is dispelling with the Jedi way, which is only good, and has that is going to be teaching people how to balance between the two, so they become a more powerful force.
Okay.
And that's the thing. That's the reigning fan theory. Now, the truth, and this is a spoiler, so if you don't want to hear this, skip ahead a little bit. I don't know how much far ahead you need to skip, because I don't know how long we'll talk about this. But directly from Luke Skywalker's mouth himself, Mark Hamill, during Star Wars Celebration, in a small area after the the Last Jedi panel ended, they showed the teaser trailer. Mark Hamill standing around talking to people, and my friend Mark, who was there, not Mark Hamill, different Mark, because if it was Mark Hamill, he'd be on with us, and we'd probably be a little more popular than we are. Yeah. He overheard this conversation between Mark Hamill and another friend of his, where he asked him, "Man, like, what's up with that line?" And Mark laughed, and he said, "What, like, jokingly, what line are you talking about?" And he said, "You know what line I'm talking about? The Jedi must end." And he goes, "All right, well, the thing about that, as soon as we saw the teaser trailer last night," and this is what Mark said, "and when I saw that and how that line was cut, I realized that Rian Johnson did it for effect. And that effect is that line's not complete."
Yeah, it seems very much so that it's not complete, or there's a different context to it.
There is. So basically the line is, "All I know is it's time for the Jedi to end." And if you listen to the trailer, there's a little bit of spacing in between each of those sections. So "All I know is it's the time for the Jedi to end." And there's one more fourth section that's not in the trailer. And he pauses and then says, "The Sith." So the line is, "All I know is it's the time for the Jedi to end the Sith."
Mm.
That's the line.
So he's going balls to the wall.
Yes. So what he's
battling it up.
So that hasn't hit the media because nobody in media was around to hear him say that.
Breaking news?
We are essentially breaking news.
Breaking news.
Wow.
So
fuck you, internet.
Yeah. So
we break the news here.
I was scouring the internet for this information, and I have yet to find it anywhere. And y'all know that I am a fucking news hound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was gonna say pussy hound.
I don't know why I thought that, but I was gonna say it. Then I was like, that doesn't make sense. We're having a real good conversation, and then Cody saw my facial expression. He's like, he wants to say pussy hound.
So, yeah, I mean, if you heard it here first, that's directly, I mean, I didn't hear it directly from Mark, but I heard it directly from my source, who is happened to be named Mark, who happened to be standing essentially next to Mark Hamill when he said that out loud in that exact way. He told him that's what it was.
Now Disney's going to shut us down. Good job, Dick.
Hey, right? You know what we can do. Maybe they'll buy us out.
Ooh,
buy our silence.
That'd be awesome.
Working for Disney. I will talk all Disney all day if that's a thing.
We mostly do.
Shush, Mike. Let's not
we mostly
it out.
Do.
We talk about wrestling. They don't own that yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yet. When we talk science, they only make that up.
They create science.
They do. I thought that was very interesting. But the cool thing about that is that obviously it's the last scene you see is that in the trailer is Luke at the mouth of what looks to be a cave, says that line, it cuts, it goes black, and then it says Star Wars The Last Jedi, and then it plays out. There's a lot in this trailer, lot in this teaser trailer. Again, very similar to, and what we said, I think it was last week when we were talking about it, very similar to the Force Awakens teaser trailer. It gives you no story.
Yeah.
It gives you what you could think would be story stuff, but it's so cut up and it does not seem like it's in line.
Well, in this one, you're like, "Oh, Luke's training Rey."
Yeah.
You know, like you get that.
Which
we all figured, but it was gonna happen. It's there. You know?
But it's funny because unlike A Force Awakens, the last line you get in the original teaser trailer is "Chewie, we're home" from mm-hmm. Han and Luke, or Han and Chewie on the first we've seen them on the Millennium Falcon in, you know, 30 years. This line is very ominous and very dark. But then again, if you look at all this teaser trailer, all of it's dark.
Oh, yeah.
There's very little in it. Aesthetically, there's lots of brightness in it. But still, you have
Finn being carted away in his little pod. You have the explosion happening in the hangar where it shows what's his name in BB
Poe and BB-8
running away, space battles and a bunch of shit. I mean, yeah, it's not a very light
Star
trailer.
Wars without wars in the stars.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it's you know, there's no jokes, there's no lightness to the actual dialogue
it's,
and whatnot.
It's very, very dark.
Yeah, even the parts where you just show Rey training.
Yeah, which is one of the I had this question to one of my friends at work, and then I realized I asked the wrong person because he didn't know what a practical effect was. But I asked, I wonder if that shot of the camera coming around the side of the island and you see her off in the distance and she's training with the lightsaber, mm-hmm. I'm wondering if that's a practical effect, like they just had a glowing stick. Because I feel bad for the special effects. And obviously they boosted the color of it because it would have to be super fucking bright to be seen that far away in real life. But I wonder if that's how practical effect that was. Like, was there really a glowing mm-hmm. fucking sword she's playing with? Because it looks so good and so smooth, and I've watched it several times. But, like, I mean, obviously ILM is a master of their craft, but that just seems really tedious to have to be, like, that minute in your detail because it's so far away, but so clear.
I'm sure, I mean,
it's an algorithm for sure, but it's, like, that's so far. It's not foreground, so it's so... I mean, you'd have to, I think you might have to do that, like...
They probably did it digitally.
Yeah.
That's what... They probably did it digitally.
It's so dope looking, though. You see Luke up, like, higher up on there, and she's just fucking, wow, whipping around. It's fucking mm-hmm. rad. Other stuff that happened in there. So, I did like the intro, where it was... It looked like it was stars, and then it faded... the light faded in, and it was... You know, she does that... That jump scare moment where she slams her hand down and you realize it's just the glare of or the shine of the on the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
She's all dirty and sweaty. Looks like she's in the midst of her training, modified. She had her new haircut mm-hmm. That everyone freaked out about when on the toy packaging. You got a glimpse of Phasma. You got a glimpse of Kylo. You got a glimpse of Kylo's shattered mask. Which everyone's like, how did he have that? It blew up. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he picked it up. He was standing next to it.
Yeah.
Could have. You just don't show it.
Yeah like, just because you didn't see him physically, like, hold on, let me chase after him, pick up his helmet. I mean, it doesn't mean he didn't fucking, it's not like it fell off.
But that leads into, does he have a new mask now?
Yes, I believe he does.
They didn't show it, if I recall right. They didn't show it in the trailer.
No, they show the wrecked mask, and then they show him holding his saber out.
So is it going to be something
fucking
more
pissed,
like Darth Vader-esque, you know?
It could be.
Classic.
I mean, he's going to be
upset.
I'm just
wondering,
what's
the reason for cloaking him in darkness?
I mean, just like, probably just to change it up, because like he wants to change up, I guess. I don't know. Maybe he's just really mad at it. But I know he probably got pissed because he no longer has his keepsake from his grandfather.
Yeah, that definitely is gone.
Yeah, that's. I don't think he ran back to his quarters to pick that up.
No. He probably wanted to.
Yeah, but he got carted off.
Yeah.
Because, I think it was someone at work that was talking about, like, how did he, like, why does he have a, like, that's clearly his mask wrecked. So unless they rebuilt it exactly and he smashed it, how does he have it? I was like, well, he didn't just fucking trot after Rey and Finn. Like, they were way up top, you know what I mean? He probably picked it up because it's part of his training. Like, he's going to leave his shit around. Went and got in some kind of vehicle and then got it there because he got ahead of them.
Yeah.
So he had to be, it's not like he might have forced run to that far, but it's probably more likely they were tracking him and he got in a little ship of some sort and flew out there. Because they, unlike in the actual release of the movie, the special features show the transports used on the surface of Starkiller Base, because there's a chase scene that was left out of the movie. You can see it in previs on the special features for episode 7, where some First Order stormtroopers are chasing after Finn and Rey in that exact little sled. So he probably just took one of those and chased after him.
Makes sense.
So, because that's the one that happens is after they leave. So yeah, you see it for a glimpse in there when they get out of it. You just don't. No one pays attention to it because they're like, how'd they get there? It's just one of those things since you don't have to assume anything, they just cut it out so you don't have to try to think why they have it, because they weren't going to leave that chase scene in. But yeah, so you see that his former mask or something similar to it smashed the thing around. Maybe even part they rebuild his mask and he doesn't want it anymore, so he smashes it. But rumors are he's got an all new look, but no one knows what it looks like just yet because concept art hasn't hit.
Mm-hmm.
Need to see a little bit more of the Knights of Ren ransacking some shit.
Well, you see a new shot of the infamous scene from Rey's vision from Force Awakens where you see Luke drop to his knees and put his hand on R2. Now you see it from, instead of being from his left side, you see it from up and behind, and there's a burning wreckage of a temple.
Yeah.
When I say burning wreckage, it is fucking on fires. And he drops down his knees and puts his hand on R2. So that might be him telling Rey exactly what happened. Or we could be, I mean, part of that would be a flashback to see Kylo's portrayal to him. But yeah, I would like to see more of the Knights of Ren, because we saw a little bit of them in the flash, in her vision. What else was in there? No look at Phasma's secret weapon she has, which at this point is we know is a spear. I mean, I guess it's probably probably a vibroblade of some sort. yeah. But it's probably something to defend against lightsabers.
I hate you so much for that.
Yeah. But we see that. We see the back of Leia's head as it talks about the light side, which is cleverly done in the trailer, which could even be a throwaway line that's not even in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, what do you see? You know, when she says focus. Oh, you do see the actual effects of force power, though, in this for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, you see a little bit of it in episode 7 when, like, Kylo grabs that dude and drags him toward him and asks about the girl. You see, obviously, Kylo throw Rey up against the tree, that sort of stuff. The blaster, you know, he stops.
Mm-hmm.
But in this, like, she's focusing and you see the rocks start to levitate around her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's obviously sitting down because you can see the bottom of one of her shoes and her hands on the ground. So she's focusing her force cheese. That was pretty cool. I thought it was pretty neat. A lot of space battles, like Mike said. There's the part with the Millennium Falcon, which again, we don't know who's in it. It could be just Chewie. Could be both.
I know who's not in it.
Han. That was a stab directly at you, sir.
I hate you so much.
He takes down a First Order TIE fighter and is chased by a couple of
Chewie's
other ones.
Probably flying it. Solo.
Wow. That was almost phonicide.
Dick.
That was kind of dickish. Let's see. What else?
Majority rules.
Majority rules.
Yeah, that was dickish.
You see Rey running right before you see Kylo, and she looks super angry with saber in tow. Still using Anakin's saber, by the way. Mm-hmm. You didn't notice. You don't see the handle, really, but the blade is blue. And I mean, I guess on that island, there's probably not a whole lot of kyber crystals to build her own yet, so.
You don't know what Luke took with him. Well, a couple.
Good. Maybe he's in exile, so who knows.
What if he has like a weapons wall with just random shit?
All the sabers from VS? Yeah.
Well, it turns out, he's not even like this badass fucking warrior. He's just a fucking nerd who likes to collect shit. This is my wall of lightsabers.
Over here are my blasters. These are ship parts.
Mm-hmm.
This is from an X-Wing wing.
Mm-hmm.
Lower left. One of my favorite scenes, though, and it's dope, is whatever those junk ships are that you see, like the one that crashes in the ground, has a little thing that sticks up and rakes up the red dirt. Then you see the line of them flying, and they'll have the red dirt coming up behind them. But when it does, when it kind of flies down and hits, or whatever you want to call that, in the background, you can see the blurry images of AT-ATs.
Yeah.
So obviously that's some kind of fucking sort of battle, and that's Rian Johnson, the director and writer of this movie, he said that's a new planet that they're on. So rumors are that is the planet that the Alliance is on, like their main base. So it could be where that attack where you see Poe's TIE fighter or X-Wing getting blown up, and then they're running Finn out of in his new floaty back to tank. You see him. On there, but to me it looks like almost like the hangar you see blow up is in a ship of some sort. It just looks very ship hangar-ish.
Yeah.
Just because of the design of everything. I also think it's when you see Phasma in the flames with her stormtroopers is you see the same design around there, but who knows. I think that's all we saw in there. Yeah. I saw Luke's little library when she says balance, and she's looking at the Book of the Wills.
Mm.
which most people refer to as the Path of the Jedi, because it has the old Jedi symbol on it, which looks like the eight-pointed star with saber on it. So, interesting little, with the wings on the side. So, yeah, it was a dope-ass teaser trailer. Very visual. The music, though, Joe pointed this out, I think through text when we were talking about it.
Yeah.
The music is dope. When it swells up during that part with those little wrecked, those little junk fighters and the AT-ATs, it's like that the classic Star Wars redone kind of comes up. You're like, oh, shit. Like, this is that's how it's supposed to be done.
Yep.
Done. Because it sounds slightly different, much similar to how it sounded different when you went from A New Hope to Empire Strikes Back. It was very, it was a bigger sound, but it was a different sound, but still sounded very familiar. I thought that was pretty neat. I think that's all from that. Was there another trailer we watched?
Nope, but I did want to talk about Invincible.
No.
Yep. So, if you're a long-time listener, you might recall us talking about a comic book called Invincible a while back. We talked about it multiple times. I'm looking at it right now. What are those ones to the right, the trades?
Yes.
What issues does that take them to?
A lot. I can look while you're talking.
An unlikely, well, I guess not that unlikely, it does Preacher, but Seth Rogen is producing a movie adaptation.
We don't know if it's just a movie yet, but it's probably going to be. Because it would be really expensive for TV.
Oh, fuck yeah.
It'd have to be animated.
Yeah. And we've talked about this, whether they would ever do an Invincible movie. And when this podcast first started, it's one of the first things we had talked about was, I mean, fuck, it's got to be within the first 10 episodes we talked about shit we wanted to see get made.
84? Yeah.
All the way to 84? Oh, Jesus.
48 through 84. And the best part of these trades is they're named after TV shows. So you have Who's the Boss, Happy Days, Still Standing, Growing Pains, the one that isn't is the Baltimore War, but because that's based in there. But you have Get Smart was one of the last ones.
Nice.
Hilarious.
So, yeah, it has to be within the first 10 episodes. We had talked about shit that we wanted to see get adapted into either a TV show or a movie. One of mine was Invincible, but we also talked about how I think the consensus was basically we thought it had to be animated if it was ever to get done.
Yep.
But since we started, we've had a couple dope-ass, high, big-budgeted, big fucking box office, rated R, violent-as-shit movies.
Mm-hmm. And this would definitely hit that.
So this now has a hope to be, and hopefully it's done with the budget they need. The first, you would think probably the first two trades would be the movie arc.
Yeah.
Like first like 12 issues, somewhere around there. So to remind people, the story arc is kind of, this high school kid, his dad is like the world's greatest superhero, and it's a world where there are superheroes. His dad is like the greatest superhero. And then when he gets into high school, he realizes he has superpowers. And so he fucks around with those, tries to fight some crime, tries to just have fun with his powers and learn about it and stuff like that. But then it basically caps off in his dad beats the fuck out of him. It's been a long time since I read it. I'm excited to reread it because.
So what happens is you find out that his father, Omni-Man, has a Justice League style team that he works with. One day he fucking snaps and murders them all.
Yeah.
And the best part is Robert Kirkman is a very satirish gentleman.
By the way, if you're like, I don't give a fuck about this comic book, fuck you. You like the guy who created it, because I guarantee you like The Walking Dead, so you're going to like this.
Yes. It's drastically different than The Walking Dead.
Yeah, it's not the same thing, but it's from the same writer.
Character-wise, it's got really good character development in it. But the big thing is it's super fucking violent. So Omni-Man snaps one day, seemingly out of nowhere, murders entire team, and that team is apprised of people who essentially are making fun of the Justice League. You have a Batman-type character, you have a Green Lantern-type character, you have a Wonder Woman character, you have a Martian character.
Superman.
You have a Superman. You even have like a secondary Superman. Very, very Justice League-ish, and they're all tweaked in a different way. Like, the Amazonian lady's not Amazon. She's a big warrior, but she's a lesbian. Green Lantern, his ability is he has a green pocket watch, but the way it works is he has to swallow it, and to turn off the power, he has to regurgitate it back up, which is really funny. Because one of the best scenes is, like, when Omni-Man goes on a strike, they don't know what's happening. There's this big thing going on, so him and one of the other characters... stop, he vomits up the pocket watch. He's like, bleh, vomit all over his hands. And like, oh, we're being called back, dude. He's like, oh, God, so now he has to swallow the vomit-covered watch back. It's really funny. So he murders all of them, and then Mark, who is the Invincible, the son, realizes who it is because it's now been seen and confronts his father, and his father's like, you don't want this. Like, we need to work together. And he's like, no, you're evil. And then they fight. And Mark gets his ass handed to him in a terrible way.
He hangs in there for a second.
For a little bit. There's going. And then his father, like, goes, oh, so this is how we need to do it. And decimates him. Like, breaks multiple limbs. Eyes, like, damn near hanging out his face.
That's when when Omni-Man, because if you read the comic book, you can get through the first couple issues. And you're like, oh, this isn't violent, this is just a fun comic book. And then when Omni-Man starts killing motherfuckers, it gets super gory. And then you're all of a sudden, and it's still drawn, like the illustrations on it are still like upbeat and very bright and very colorful. Mm-hmm. Like it's a Marvel style world with just epic portions of blood. Like it's like if Tarantino did a Marvel movie. Like that's what this would look like. So I'm hoping Tarantino directs this. It'll be
it's directed by Rogan and Goldberg.
I'm still gonna hope for Tarantino. Okay. I'm excited because this is one of my favorite all time favorite comic books was Invincible. I stopped reading it at about issue 100. I think they're on like what issue 140 now or something like that.
No, they're getting ready to wrap it up. They're in the almost 150s, so high 140s, yeah. Things where it's at.
Yeah, so I'm like way behind on the story, but I stopped getting single issues right around 100, so I figured that's a good time to put it away, and I'll buy the big giant collection when it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited. Joe, did you ever read it?
I read volume one of the trade paperbacks.
Trade one.
And you're right. Like, you read that. I think the worst it got is that one dealt with the bomber.
The guy. Yeah.
And it wasn't very bloody or anything, because most of the time it dealt with Invincible in finding out his powers.
Yeah, it's very, like, early Superman. Yeah, trying
exactly,
to, like,
yeah.
Figure it out, yeah.
And he kind of puts that little bit of a team together. But that was it. Yeah, so I don't know anything that happens beyond volume one, and
it gets good. So the big question, we'll do this officially later.
So what happens is Omni-Man leaves the planet. Are we gonna spoil the whole thing?
Well, fuck it, let's do it.
So I'm gonna catch Joe up real quick. So Omni-Man, realizing what he did, is heartbroken because his wife no longer wants anything to do with him. He damn near killed his kid. Decides to leave the planet in self-imposed exile because his whole deal is he was sent to Earth as a baby to conquer Earth for his race of people, and he has failed them because he fell in love, had a family, fell in love, got married, had a kid, and then realized that if he doesn't take over the planet, they'll come no matter what and destroy everybody as a punishment. So he decides to leave and sends a signal saying that Earth is lost. It's, you know, it's no longer not good for us, blah, blah, blah. Invis becomes a hero, kind of unfolds, and then later it comes back that this he would spend time in outer space basically watching for his dad's return, and his people to return to conquer Earth, kind of as the last, you know, like the first stop on the world destruction tour. And an alien shows up, Alan. Named Alan the alien, and they have a fight. Invincible wins, but like barely wins. And
he fared better this time than he did against.
Yeah, because he has a lot more experience in fighting. But one of the things about Mark's alien race that he's half of is that with every battle they get stronger, and the more damage happens to them, the stronger their bodies get, so they become invincible. That's the name. So after his dad beat his ass, he healed and was actually stronger. So his powers, he was physically stronger. He flew faster. And so as he took more damage, he learned that he healed faster from incredible damage, like, you know, literally having his eye hanging out of his face, arm broken. He couldn't regrow stuff, but if it's there, he can put it back on and it'll reassemble itself, which is pretty cool. And then from there, it just goes crazy because, like, there's other alien races. You find out there's this big group of alien people that are trying to defeat Mark's alien relatives and all sorts of crazy shit. So, yeah. It's dope. So, I highly recommend it, for sure.
So, we'll get into a full fantasy cast of it after we do some research, and Joe's going to read a little bit more of it. But what do you want to do, like three main characters?
Who, what three?
Her, who do you Adam mean? Eve. Invincible, Adam Eve. Omni-Man, and, yeah, probably. Because here's the thing, in the book, he's a high school kid.
Yeah.
But you know how Hollywood plays that. So if you're a baby-faced looking 30-year-old, you could probably get this role.
Well, that's a tough question. Do you have any thoughts?
I like John Hamm as Omni-Man.
Yeah, I saw that one. I thought it was
really good. That got kicked around instantly on Twitter. Like that
started, and that motherfucker needs Javier, a big role.
Not Javier. The other one, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, got kicked around for Omni-Man too.
Yeah,
which makes a lot of sense. But I like the idea.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan would need to beef up again. I thought he needed to beef up for his role as Negan, but he's actually doing a really good job in Negan because Negan's a big dude in the comic books. That's why I thought John, because John Hamm's just a big dude in general, not just down south. You know what I mean?
There's pictures on the internet.
John Hamm's Hamm. But he's just a
big dick.
He's
big dick Hamm.
Giant dick. It's like a third leg without a knee. but he would do good because he's just a big guy, and Omni-Man needs to be a.
I mean, he's a good actor,
a big
too.
Guy, yeah.
And he kind of has that because he very easily could have been like a Superman character, too. So, yeah. like that's the kind of idea. Like, whoever you think, if you ever thought about, oh, so and so would be a good Superman, like, he'd be a good Omni-Man. Like, that's kind of the route you want to go because Omni-Man is Superman with a mustache and like a 5 o'clock shadow
and no laser eyes.
Yeah. Because
he doesn't have that. It's just super strength and flying.
I saw Joseph Gordon-Levitt get thrown out a lot for Invincible, and I was like, that works except for the
younger,
age thing.
Yeah, if he were all younger, older, definitely.
But because again,
he even looks older though.
Yeah.
He can do it. I'm sure he can do it. I know there's quite a few younger actors out there you could get for him. And the cool thing about the best part about Mark's character, so Mark or Invincible, he's not overly beefed up.
No,
he's just in really good shape.
Yeah.
But he's not Superman big, you know what I mean? Or Omni-Man big.
Again, anyway. another same thing. If you ever thought so-and-so would be good as a Spider-Man, probably going to be a good choice for Invincible.
He needs to be like the taller, he needs to be like close to 6 feet, if not taller than 6 feet.
Yeah.
Not like, and I'm not saying taller, like 7 foot tall. I'm talking like, you know, 6'1", 6'2".
Because like we talked about, this group of heroes is kind of based off of, go for it.
Usopp Butterfield, the kid from Ender's Game. He's 20. Could. He's 20 years old and 6 feet tall right now.
He is scrawny too. Yeah.
Boom.
He would be. Was he good in Ender's Game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was very good.
Even when it made me cry. He's in that new movie that the one where he was born on Mars.
Yeah.
That's him. The Space him. Between Us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the one.
I forgot that was him. All right. As long as it's good. The most fun thing about this movie to me, outside of this, the ridiculous amounts of violence that's going to be on screen, is the cast is so big depending on how deep into the story they go. Like, there's a lot of fun characters in this book.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you would be a really interesting way because I just realized, I not realized, but I just remembered. These two, so Seth Rogen and Goldberg, what's his name? Mike?
Bill?
Is it Mike?
Bill Goldberg?
It's not Bill.
Goldberg.
Whatever his name is.
We said it before. Rewind it.
I think it's Mark.
All right. What were we
Evan.
Gonna say?
Evan Goldberg. Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg. They're the ones that did Sausage Party.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good CGI.
Yeah.
You could do it that way.
No full CGI? No. No,
just because
the live action, man. Like CGI, still feels like a cartoon to me. Like, I mean, it is, but
can you imagine how ridiculous it would be to watch that? But like, how violent it's gonna get?
It'd be cool. Like, I'd still be happy to see it
because they use real physics in that animation, like Pixar does. So like, when shit breaks, it like crumbles and breaks. Like, for example, when they cut a hot dog or whatever, like splits mm-hmm. like a real hot dog does. So like, it would be super fucking ridiculous, violent. I mean, you don't have to have like a talking condom.
Yeah.
But, you know.
A food orgy scene at the end of it.
I mean, you could, but it'd be very out of place. It'd be cool if they went by a shopping center. It was the name of that shopping center.
And
it was
playing. Yeah. Or walked by a movie theater.
Yeah.
And it was on the billboard.
It's like, oh, that's where they got it. But that would be interesting. Because they could, obviously the humans in that were characterized more.
Yeah. I'd still watch it and be excited about it, but I would lose a lot of excitement.
I think you'd have to do live action because most people have your view on it. It's still a cartoon, and it's not good as well. But I think it'd be... I just thought it'd be interesting.
It'd be cool for, like, down the road. You don't do more of them, but...
Nah, you don't want to go from live action to animated.
You can. I just want to see... I just need to see the movie first. Like,
or you could pull a Roger Rabbit. And have some of the characters.
Well, you're going to kind of have to have some of the characters to be
animated.
Yeah. I saw a lot on Twitter about having The Rock play Alan the Alien. Alan the Alien is just this...
beefy fucking...
Yeah, super yoked up dude with... he's red, right? It's kind of red. Pink. He's just a giant fucking roided up freak with one eye.
Hmm.
Kind of looks like what The Rock would look like if he was pink and had one eye.
I think I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
It's funny because he doesn't start that way.
Yeah.
He starts scrawny, gets his ass whipped a bunch of times on Mark, and just keeps getting bigger.
Yeah.
Showing pictures.
All right.
So you see him here.
Yep.
And then he gets to this.
Yeah.
Damn.
So, like, the Rock version, the Zac Efron version.
That's another thing. I saw a lot of Zac Efron for Invincible. Which
I thought of that too, but he's too old as well.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but you know, like, they get away with it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, Andrew Garfield was
fucking 30. That dude's 30 now. I mean, he wasn't 30 then.
So, like, 25 when he was playing a high school kid, you know? Like, it's gonna be a 25 to 30 year old playing this character, probably. More than likely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's, like, that's, like I said, though, there's so many fun characters that I hope this movie's good and they do fucking 8 of them because the deeper they get, yeah, dude.
Yeah, Tech Jacket, which is one of the other,
Iron Man-esque.
Yeah, he's another Robert Kirkman invention. Invincible, Omni-Man, you have Alan Alien, Battle Cat. This is Oliver.
Battle Cat's Thor, by the way, with a cat head.
It literally looks
like it.
Olafor is Damien.
Yeah, he's basically Robin. He's Mark's half brother, born of a mantis alien creature. I can't remember this dude's name now.
But even before you get to that group of people, you got like Rexplode,
yeah,
who's like
two characters basically.
Yeah, but he's like
Gambit,
Invincible's. He's a good guy, but he's kind of his rival. Mm-hmm. You know, like he's a hero, but he's kind of, they don't like each other. So like that could be a fun character. Who's the I don't want to say the CIA guy, but that's, I don't think that's right. The
agent?
Yeah.
The boss guy or the android? Spoiler.
Yeah, the boss one. But that could be a lot of fun. Like, it's just so many cool characters that if you get the right actors and let them actually, like, as goofy as this story is, let them really sink their teeth into it and get into it, it could be so good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited. Make it a good movie. Don't put yourself in it with Rogan. I mean, you can, but not as a fucking main star
character, yeah.
Or James Franco. Keep him out of this fucking movie.
You said his name super douchey.
Franco.
That's how I picture him saying it to people.
Oh, okay.
It's not Franco, it's Franco.
Franco.
Get it right, fuckwad.
My name's Franco.
Frockwad.
Franco 2?
Frockwad.
Franco 3? That's how he counts up to intercourse. Franco 2. Franco 3.
Just, you know what I really want to have
now? Franco.
Because you have Monster Girl. Like, that one's nuts, too. Like, there's just so much. Yeah.
All right. We'll figure it out. We'll do the research. We'll come back with full cast for you guys. Cody, wrap us up.
Comes Ashley, we are.
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. As usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
Dun-dun-dun-dun.